Welcome, Paul Coyer with you till 2 o'clock. Coming up now, it's time for us to get the latest news from the world of technology. And from at Gadget Detective, it's the one and only Fevzi Turkalp. Hi, Fevzi, how are you?
Afternoon. Yes, very well, thanks.
Good. No, you don't feel that you have to ask me back how I'm doing. It's all right. That's fine.
That's okay. Okay. Well, do you know what? I was once told not to do that because it just slows
it's
down
rude.
The flow.
Oh, no, it's rude. It's rude. Paul. It's rude. We'll try again. Fevzi.
Paul.
Fevzi, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm well, thank you. Fevzi, we've got lots to get through here. I was going to say we'll edit that later, but we're live. Tech news then. Big kudos to Vodafone this week, eh?
Yeah, so Vodafone have signed a deal with a company called CityFibre and Openreach, which will mean that about 8 million UK residents will have access to super fast broadband, and they call it full fiber, but that always reminds me of roughage. Super fast broadband. So if you imagine now that most people's broadband might give them about, you know, 50 megabits per second down speed. Yeah, so that's the rate at which you can download data into the computer, and it affects how fast everything works. This sort of service will instead of giving you about 50, will give you about 1,000. In terms of the download speed. So it's hugely fast. And the trick to it is that it's what's called a fibre network. So originally all broadband, and in fact most broadband still comes down over BT's copper wire network, or at least the last part of it is copper wire coming to your home. Mm. What this company, CityFibre, have done is they've done a fibre network, and it's expanding. So the only people that had a sizable fibre network before were Virgin. So the situation was Virgin sold broadband on their network and everyone else piggybacked off the BT system. Now there's this sort of third network that's put there by CityFibre, and Vodafone have done a deal with them. So the idea is that by spring of next year, 8 million UK residents will have access to this service if they want it. And they pledge that by 2025, the service will have reached 285 cities, towns and villages in the UK. And it's a great thing because it's more choice. Because at the moment, although it appears like there's lots of internet broadband companies offering you, or with the exception of Virgin and one or two other smaller players, almost everything was just branding of a service that ran on a BT wire network, and so all that company was really responsible for was customer service and billing. Otherwise, the services were, you know, pretty much the same. It's a bit like different water companies offering you water, but they use the same pipes and the same water. Sure. You know, but this is going to be true choice because this will be a completely new fiber network that will go straight fiber to your door, as it were, which means that. Because before you have fibre networks, but then the last bit from the cabinet to your house has been copper wire, which is like the bottleneck. Mm-hmm. So with fibre to the door, as it were, it's going to be hugely faster. So as I say, about maybe 20 times faster.
So they're going to be digging up roads then to do this?
Well, they're already doing it. You know, there's a lot of they've been doing it for a couple of years or so, and it's quite a big network. It is interesting because in some countries where, you know, this... you know, they don't already have a sort of a network. They've just jumped over all of this and gone for, 5G, mobile internet. And there are some benefits to that as well. But I don't know. I think there's a real benefit to having fibre coming into your building. And, you know, we've seen it over the last sort of 18 months ago or so with COVID, where, you know, people doing far more video calling. I remember when COVID first struck, all the major TV streaming services like Netflix and Amazon Prime and Apple and all that, they cut down the quality of the of what they were streaming because they couldn't serve enough data. So this sort of thing will help immensely. You know, we'll have much faster, more fluid connections because as we go forward, everything is changing. I mean, for example, in a few short years, BT is completely doing away with normal telephones. Mm. All telephone services into your home and into your business will effectively be what they call voice over IP, which is like, you know, Skype or FaceTime or something like that. It will look and behave normally like a normal phone, but you'll have to have a broadband internet service into your home. Otherwise, it won't work. The old copper wires, you know, that service will not work. You'll need a whole new system. So everything is changing. You know, our security systems, our entertainment, all the things that we're going to be doing in the future are going to require a faster and faster connection. So we're barely keeping up with it. You know, I mean, other countries have already got the jump on us in many cases as well. So this is good news. I would like to have seen it faster. I'd have liked to have seen, you know, some government incentives or greater government incentives for them to get on and do this, because it's a basic service. You know, it's a utility now. Like we rely on electricity and gas and water, and yeah, obviously we may have problems with some of those going forward, but you know, to have a good internet service is a basic right now, I think.
More and more people are saying that it's a deal breaker when buying a house. If there isn't a good service for broadband, yeah, for internet, then we're not interested. It's just become fundamental to our way of life.
Yeah, people used to check if there were good schools in the area. Now they check if the broadband's going in speed, you know. But it is essential. And you know, I come back to COVID. It's accelerated a number of trends that were in train anyway. You know, and this thing about remote working, video calling, all these sorts of things. And then you've got Facebook banging on about the metaverse, which is like, instead of looking at the internet on a flat screen, you're immersed in it in a 3D experience all around you, like the real world. You can only imagine how much data flow that's going to require as well. So 5G is good for mobile platforms, but fiber to your door can't beat a bit of fiber, I always say.
You do sound like my doctor. Right, coming up next, we'll do our gadget of the week. And I'm interested. I've got a preview of what it is, and it sounds fab. Fevzi, your gadget of the week, then. What have you gone for this week?
Okay, so this is a keyboard for use with a computer or many other types of devices as well. It's called the Logitech MX Keys Mini. So previously there was something called the Logitech MS Keys. The MX Keys Mini, as you may think, is a smaller version of this keyboard. Now, it's a very high quality keyboard. Although it's called a mini, it's not sort of a teeny tiny keyboard. It's just a tad under 12 inches wide, to give you an idea of what we're talking about. Metal construction, you know, good quality device. Got a number of quite interesting tricks up its sleeve. So first of all, this keyboard is designed to work and control, and it's compatible with a number of different devices. So it'll work with a Windows PC, it will work with an Apple Macintosh, work with your iPhone, it will work with an Android phone, it will work with an iPad or an Android tablet. And it's not just, it will work with any one of those, it will work with any three that you choose. So let's say you've got an Apple Mac and a Windows PC and then an iPad. You've just got three buttons on the top row where you just do F1, F2, F3, and it will just select which machine you want to control in that moment, which is great, because it means that not only is the keyboard compact and it saves you a lot of desk space. Essentially, it's full-size keys, but it doesn't have that sort of numeric keypad on the right-hand side, mm-hmm, that often people rarely use, I think, for most
I
of
never
us don't
use
really.
It. Never.
Well,
never.
Most of us don't, and yet it takes up a good bit of space,
yeah.
And this saves space because the keyboard is compact, but also because you only need one, even though you may have different devices. So you could have three Windows PCs, you could have two Windows PCs and a Mac, or a Windows PC, a Mac and an iPad or something like that. So it's not just a matter of being able to switch however between them, which you can do, but they've got this software, and Logitech have got this software called Flow, which when you install it is very, very clever, because what you can do is, as you swipe your mouse, let's say you've got a Windows PC to the left, a Macintosh screen in the middle, and on the right you've got your iPad, for example. You can start out controlling, you know, the machine on the left, the Windows PC, and as you move your mouse over to the edge of the screen of the Windows PC, the pointer appears on the middle screen of the Mac.
Wow.
And the keyboard has automatically switched to allow you to type onto the Mac. And as you then continue further and you go onto the, let's say in this case, the iPad, so now you've got mouse control of your iPad and you can type directly into the notes page or whatever it is you're doing on the iPad. And it can be completely seamless, and that's why it's called Flow. It's quite a remarkable thing that they've achieved,
magical,
because it works well. And you can do quite clever things like cut and paste between machines. So you could say, take a Word file on your Windows PC and copy it and then come across and then paste it onto one of the other machines. So it's actually going via a wireless network straight. There are no wires between these three computers. They're not connected in any way other than the wireless link to the keyboard and mouse. You need a compatible mouse to do this as well. So it's really quite clever. And, you know, that's not for everyone. Not everyone has got multiple machines, but there are people who do control more than one machine. And it's just really nice to be able to, you know, do that. For me, it's, you know, fantastic. In terms of the keyboard itself, it uses Bluetooth low energy, which means that, you know, one charge, it charges quickly via USB-C connector, and then you get a lot of use before you have to charge it again. The size is compact, but there's no compromise when it comes to usability or comfort. It's a very solid device, and the keys are sculpted. They've got these little concave bowls in all of them, which is about the size and shape of your fingertip. So it feels very nice. It's quiet in use. A lot of people, I mean, some of the best keyboards you can buy are from Apple, the ones that come with their machines or the ones that you can buy. But a lot of people are actually getting rid of their Apple keyboards and replacing them with these sorts of Logitech keyboards, because I think, you know, the fact that they work across different devices is really nice as well. And obviously, Apple doesn't give you that. Ergonomic design, good for use. Also, because it's compact, you can use it portably. You can take it with you in a sort of case or a backpack or, you know, your briefcase. And, you know, if you've got your tablet with you, you can do that. It's got some nice dedicated smart keys as well. Like if you want to do dictation, voice to text dictation, you press the button, it activates that. If you want to mute the microphone and unmute it, you can do that. You can even enter emojis off the which is of course essential. You can either enter emojis just by hitting the function key at the top. So it's all very clever. Also comes with a 1 month complimentary subscription to something called Adobe Creative Cloud, which is all the apps like, you know, Photoshop and the other pro apps that you get. Unfortunately, that's the subscription model. So 1 month is free, you know, that's fine. But after that, you know, they try to get you to subscribe, which isn't my favorite way of using software, I have to be honest, although it is the way that things seem to be moving. This is not a cheap keyboard. So the full price on it is £99.99. You might get
that's
a
not
bit lower
bad for everything it does, though, is it?
It's not bad, and particularly if you're going to use it on more than one machine, and you're not only then saving space by not having two keyboards, but you're saving money. And it works. The good thing about the Logitech stuff is it does work quite seamlessly. You know, you do need to tweak it a bit to set it up. For example, when you're setting up Flow, you have to tell the software what is the relative position of your screens, you know, where's the max, so it knows that when you go off the right edge of the Windows machine to land on the Mac or and then when you go further to left. You have to do that, but yeah, it works really well. And I, you know, keyboards are not exciting bits of kit, you know, you think, oh, you know, but in terms of the quality of life difference that it can give you, it's quite surprising. And I think instead of spending that extra £100 on, you know, the main computer, I think it's worth just putting that money aside and just having a really good keyboard to work with, because it's hard to describe over the radio, but it's a delight to use. You know, it's almost silent. It's not one of these big clacky keyboards. It's not a gaming keyboard. If you're into gaming, this is not for you. This is for people who, you know, want to type on it and just have a really good experience. And, and it's the sort of thing that people will try and steal off your desk. I've given it 4.5 stars out of 5, which is about the highest I ever give anything. So
good. And it's the Logitech MX Keys Mini Minimalist Wireless Illuminated Keyboard. A bit of a mouthful, but I'm very impressed.
Yeah,
by it.
Just
sounds
call different. It MX Keys Mini. Oh, by the way, it comes in a choice of colours, and there's a version for Mac only, Mac and iOS devices only. And the difference is that the key tops are you know, dedicated to what Apple calls stuff. But the main one, the non-Apple one, will work with Macs as well. So for many people, that's a better choice, particularly if you're using anything other than Apple equipment.
Fevzi, as always, thank you. Reminder that you can catch up with Fevzi at gadgetdetective.com. We'll speak soon, Fevzi. Thank you so much.
Cheers.